Thank you, Lady Masanda Dabo. Thank you, Jesus. Shakarabo Sidi de Barakabo Sandi. Ambaya de Debo Shakaraba Shinde de Bakaraba Sakarabakashi Idibo. Mokurabakasi Idibaya Karaba Sakarabo Gosigidi. Yeribaya Karabo Sukopo Sakaba. Thank you, Jehovah God. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty. Kurabaka Sakarabaya Karishikidiba. We honor you. Kurabasi Idibaya Karabasana da 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 da. Thank you, Jehovah God. You are mighty. You are glorious. There's no one else like you, God. Abakashikidiba. I bless your name, oh God. We give you glory.
It's not your training.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, makasa.
It's not your goodness. It's not your wisdom. It's not your age.
You are good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to hear from Him, to learn from Him, and you know, to be taught by Him. And we've been learning about God, we've been learning about the fatherhood of God, and just trying to understand His character, trying to understand who He is and what is it that He's so concerned about humans, about mankind. And what is so special about man that God loved us. And as we continue to learn of Him, like we've been learning about the, you know, yesterday we were looking at Jesus expressing that statement that, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. And it's such a deep reflection too, and a confidence in God to know that you have a God, you have a Father that hears you always. In fact, if whatever you asked for does not happen, you should be surprised. And you should ask questions. Because we have a God that hears us. And so it's for us to believe that He has heard us, to expect that He has heard us, to trust that He has heard us, to wait upon the fact that He has heard us. And to live, and even when we pray, we must still have that expectation that God has heard us. And I can assure you, God has heard you. When you prayed with all your heart, when you prayed until you got the place of breakthrough, until you got the note of victory, until you received that assurance, that deep assurance within you that your prayer has been heard, that is the difference between those who receive answers and those who don't. You must come to God believing that He exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Many people just come to God and like, oh God, I need a job. You know, I need a job. Give me a job. But their heart is not into it. Their emotions are not into it. They're not thinking about it. They're not even contemplating that they're asking the Father of all things, the one who owns all things, that He's the one who gives all things. And they're not even recognizing that He is able. The reason the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, and Sarah considered Him faithful. It says that Sarah, although she was stricken with age, she was able to conceive seed because she considered Him faithful who gave the promise. When you operate with God, when you come to God, you must come to the place where you believe Him, you hear Him, and you must consider. That means you must give careful thought and reflection to who you're praying to whom you're asking to whom you're establishing a relationship with. And once you consider Him faithful, remember she laughed. But between that laughter and the 1 year later, by this time next year, in fact, maybe within 3 months, she had a point where she considered, no, this person, this man whom my husband welcomed, this man who came with his two friends, this man who went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, consider him faithful. He just rescued Lot and his daughters. I consider the words that he has spoken are life. And that is how we must approach God's word. That is how we must approach every promise of God, by considering him faithful, he who has promised. And today I wanted us to look at something more about like the authority or the license or the permission of God. And I want us to look at that to me speaks of a very important principle that we must never forget, even in our interactions with God, even as we grow in our knowledge, in our understanding that God has given us so much in Christ, that God has given us every blessing, that God has given us the license, the authority, the exousia to become sons of God. We've been given so much liberty. I mean, there's so much freedom in Christ, but there's still authority. There is still authority. There is still authority that God exercises, and that there is nothing that, or there's no one who operates on the earth without submitting to the authority of God. And this is something that Jesus really emulated, because he says, I only do what I see my Father does. The works that I do, they are not my own. I only do what my Father does. And that tells us that Jesus, despite being God, despite being in very nature equal to God, he humbled himself and was obedient even to the point of death. And he was trying to show us that, yes, I have made you the sons of God. I have given you authority. I have given you my spirit. I have given you my name. I have given you my power. I have given you everything that I will hold that will make you express yourself as a son of God on the earth. But in all these things that I have given you, you still operate under my guidance, under my leadership, under my authority, under my license. And this is the difference between those who experience and who express the fullness of God and those who don't. Because if we read the scriptures, the Bible says we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And this is a word for every believer. But when we look at the manifestations, we realize that it is not every believer that is exercising that authority, that is exercising that truth, that manifestation, that power is relating and is being made true. And that is because there is a difference between those who recognize the word and those who come under obedience to that word, and those who relate with God, recognizing his authority and submitting to that license. So we will look at some few scriptures that speak to that. And I want us to first of all look at Acts chapter 1. And we'll see when the disciples of Jesus were trying to ask him some questions. And maybe we can just say from verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and that's where we are starting from today. And as I said, we are looking at the authority of God, or the license of God, or the God's permission. Like, what does God, it is only the things, everything that exists on the earth exists by God's permission. And whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's the devil, the Bible says it is he, God is the one that created the destroyer to work havoc. So everything, even if you look at the life of Job, the Bible says God allowed, said, okay, do this, go ahead and do this. So there's nothing that operates in the heavens and on the earth without the license of God, or without the permission of God. So even man in himself, the reason why man has authority on the earth is because he was given the authority, he was given the license, he was given the delegated leadership by God. God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion, let them have authority over the birds, over the air, over the fish, over the animals, over every creeping thing, and over every plant. That was God's permission. So Adam operated in the permission, in the dominion that God gave him. But then what did he do? He submitted himself to obey the devil and gave his license and authority to of the rulership of the earth to the devil. And then the devil became the god of this world. And since that, then Jesus Christ came to restore that authority to himself and to those who will believe in him. So we that are in Christ are given the license, the authority over the earth and over everything, because when Jesus ascended, he filled all things in heaven and on earth. So Christ was given the highest name above, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow down and every tongue confess and declare that he is Lord. So Jesus Christ was exalted to the highest place and given authority and dominion over every other name that is to come, and even in the age to come. And those who believe in him are also given that same authority. So now let's carry on with what we are reading. And being assembled, Acts chapter 1 verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he that he have heard of me. So here we are talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is also given by the authority of the Father. That's how you can see you're saying by the promise of the Father. That means that for those who have received the Holy Spirit and those who experience the Holy Spirit, it is because they have come under the authority, and it is by the license of the Father. Anyone who does anything on the earth is through the license of the Father. And then it says that verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And that is where in his own exousia, in his own influence, in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power, which is dunamis, which is different from this other power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses and to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So there's something that God is trying to exercise, and Jesus was trying to exercise to us. The disciples were asking, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? I mean, yes, you're resurrected. Yes, you are Lord, you are King. We believe in you. I can see what you've done, and we believe in you, but now we're still in bondage. Are you going to do it now? And Jesus answered and said, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own exousia, in his own authority, in his own power. So that means that there are things, despite the delegated authority, because to us we are given power as a delegation. I mean, for those who work in offices, you know that when you have gone for leave, you give someone delegated authority. You delegate someone to be your OIC or your officer in charge. And it is illegal for you to do something when you're not around, when you've given someone that power. So that means that you've given that person the full authority and the license to act in that place. So if we look at man on the earth, man was given license and authority over certain things. And it's very specific. He was given over the birds of the air, over the creation, over the living things, over the things that move on the earth. But you see, there are limits that God still set aside for himself. And one of the limits that we see is times and seasons. That is why no one knows how much time they have. No one can determine when they will live, when they will die. It is God that gives that authority, and it's God that has determined that it is this time that he will send his son. And no matter how you fight it, no matter how many the prophets prayed to see the time of the Christ, since it was not given to them at that point, it was not theirs. So the times and the seasons are under the Father. And so he tells them the time when Christ shall come back and set up his kingdom, it's not for you to know. That's why Jesus is telling them, he will come like a thief in the night, just when everyone is saying things are okay, just when everyone is saying, oh, things are good, he'll change, oh, he's going to be healed, he's going to be well. A time and a season, he can just say, alas, your time is done, come. Or you'll just hear the trumpet and the Lord will come back. And you see, he says, and you, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons set by his own authority. Then let us quickly jump to Acts chapter 17. And I want us to see this discussion of how God determines even everything that he gives to all men. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Acts 17 and from verse 22, Acts 17, from verse 22, the Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. That means you're too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things. And verse 26, and has made one blood of all nations for men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Maybe just to look at a simpler, let me just see if I can get NIV that puts it in a simpler way. Verse 26, Acts 17, verse 26, it says, from one man he made all the nations that they should be inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And there's a reason for it, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So, and maybe just to finish that, for as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commanded that all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. Wherefore he has given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. So just settle on that, where it says verse 26, that it is God that from one man he made all men of all nations. That means that everyone was in Adam when God made Adam. Everyone was in him. And so from that one man, he made all men of all nations, and he made them to dwell on the earth. So that means men are to live on the earth. So anyone who wants to attempt to live on any other planet is lying to himself. Why? Because God is already clear. He made men to dwell on the earth. And then he says, and has determined the times before appointed and their bounds of habitation. That means for every man has a season. Yes, men are leaving us. Yes, men of God are going, and it pains us. I mean, It pains us when we lose our relatives. But what we must never forget, and we must focus on and remember, that everyone has an appointed time and season. Everyone has an appointed place on the earth that you have received license for. And if you think of John the Baptist, when he is told, oh, the man you baptized the other day, he's gaining more disciples, he's increasing. And what does John say? He says, a man can only have what he has received from heaven. I must decrease and he must increase. John was clear. He understood the things of the kingdom of God. He understood how things work in the kingdom of God. There is no one who has a ministry that God has not given him the license for. There is no one who people come under his authority, under God's authority, under their ministry, or under what they're doing, even in the workplace, unless it is given by God. You see, when we see about leaders, the Bible says the leaders are God's servants, and they don't bear the sword for nothing. And that is why we should pray for them that are authority, because all authority is from God. Every license, every power exercised on the earth, every power that we see operates with the license, operates with the permission, operates with the delegated authority of God. Now, when you're ignorant is when you will still expect someone who has already given you the authority to do for you. Now, for example, if you have given your child some uniform, or you have paid school fees for a child, and you send the child to school, and you ask the child, go, I've paid your school fees. And the child gets in the middle of the road, and someone tells the child that, oh, why are you going to school? Go back home, your school fees have not been paid. Now, if that child stops and goes back and then keeps crying to the father, Father, I need to go to school, the father will wonder, but I already gave you the license, I already gave you the authority to go to school. Why are you coming back and not going to school? So this child must exercise the authority and must exercise the license that they have been given by their parent to go to school. But if they don't, then the father is left wondering what to do. Now, this is how many Christians are, and many believers are. We have been given license. There are things that God has delegated to the believers to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead in the name of Jesus. We have been given the authority of the name of Jesus. There are things that God has given us the license for, and yet we are not exercising that. Yet we are not recognizing the authority that God has given us and not exercising it. We need to know that God has determined the times, the seasons. There are things that God has permitted. And even just to add one final thing, that and I mean, you can see various aspects that God permits and all that, but there's something that I wanted us to look at, and that even spiritual growth, even how we grow in the spirit, in the things of the spirit, in our, you know, in our rank or spiritual rank or whatever license that God gives us in the things of the spirit, it is by the permission of God. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 6, we'll just look at the first three verses and then we will conclude there. The Bible says that, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Paul was trying to recognize to the church that, you know, by this time you ought to be teachers. I expect you to have grown, but yet you still need someone to give you, feed you milk. If you look at the previous chapter, chapter 5, it says, by now, you know, and then it says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have learned to distinguish good from evil, have exercised their senses. So as we exercise our senses to discern good from evil, to obey God, to do the right things, to know that this is sin, this is not sin, and then now we learn about Christ, we learn about the doctrine of Christ, the elementary teachings about Christ. What is it about Christ? That believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing that he paid the price for our sins, and that he has been raised and seated in glory, and that everything that he has done for us, and we were in him when he died, and we have been resurrected with Christ, and we are seated with Christ, and the place that we operate in is in Christ. We are in that place where he has also been given that authority. And that is a place where we are moving away from the doctrines of Christ. Not that we are leaving behind. We are growing unto them. We are growing beyond them. And we are going unto perfection. And again, we are not just again, you know, going to learning again what is repentance from dead works, what is putting our faith towards God, turning towards God, what are the doctrines of baptism, what are the laying on of hands, what is the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Basically, what God is telling us that you need to be learning all these things. There's a system, there's a protocol by which God has appointed, by which we grow. That means all these aspects that are being taught here, if you don't know them, you need to go and dig into them and learn. Understand what is judgment. What is eternal judgment? How shall the world come to an end? How shall men be judged at the end? What are the judgments that are there? What is the judgment seat of Christ? You know, where? What is the seat of rewards? You know, the two judgments that will take place. Then think about the resurrection of the dead. What will happen when Jesus will come back in the rapture? What will happen? What about the laying on of hands? What about baptism? And you see it says baptisms. That means there are different baptisms. There is baptism in waters. There is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Even those of Moses, under Moses, they were baptized under the cloud. So there's a doctrine of baptisms. So it's just not one baptism. And then look at that, all repentance from dead works. And the Bible tells us that, and this we will do if God permits. And God permitting, we will do so. Just think of everything, even the whole devil that disturbs people, those things that come to people, they have been licensed. God allows it. God has permitted the devil to cause havoc, but there are limits that he has set. Even the devil knew that Job had a hedge of protection around him. And he said, but you have set a hedge of protection around him. And God removed it. Now, with us, God gives us our authority. God gives us and tells us, do not give the devil a foothold. Put on the full armor of God. He has given you the liberty to resist the devil. He just tells you, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. So, the things that come to us are the things that we allow. We allow certain things to come to us, either by giving the devil license, by giving him a foothold, or by playing with sin and creating holes in our armor, of which the devil exploits. Him, he has been given the license to create havoc. His job is a destroyer. His job is a deceiver. He has exercised and he's there until his time. You know, God has already said, his judgment is already passed. A time will come, he will be thrown, cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet and whatever. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. But for now, he's released. He's doing what he needs to do. But now, as the believer, do you know that you have been given the exousia? You've been given the license. You've been given the permission by God to overcome every power of the devil. The one that lives in you is greater than the one in the world. And that is the authority that you have. But if you're like that child who does not believe and is not going to school, then you don't express, you don't experience your power, you don't exercise your authority. And ignorance is not a defense. If you don't claim your rights in an office, if you don't claim for your leave, no one will give you leave. There are benefits if you never claim for. People will just be, they will just be silent. And that is the reality. So as believers, let us know that everything is by God's permission. But then you must know what God has permitted. And that is why we keep growing in the things of God. That is why we learn. That is why we submit ourselves to teachers and tutors, that we might continue growing to maturity and unto perfection. Yeah, so I'll stop there, and I pray that we've had understanding that it is God's permission, it's God's license, it's exousia, it's influence, it's license that God gives us to operate as children of God. But you must know your rights, and you must exercise them, and know that there are things that God has reserved for himself, but there are things that he has given to us. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29 says that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. So there are things that are for God, but there are things that he has given us. Let us not be ignorant. Let us continue to grow in maturity. So I'll stop there. My brother, you're welcome. Okay, any reflections? Okay then, maybe some challenges. Okay, let us pray, and we thank God for God's word. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have spoken to us to live and to exercise the authority that you've given us, O God. As Christians, there is an authority that you have given every believer to live in power, to walk in power, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to heal the sick. And indeed, this is exercised in obedience to you, in your leading. And it is not just of our own, but it is authority that you give us. And as you move us towards it, we exercise it by your permission. And Father, I thank you that even those that desire to grow in the things of the Spirit, as they keep seeking by the license that you've given us, that them that can diligently seek you, you're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Father, I pray that they may find you, that you may grant us the liberty to grow in the things of the Spirit. I speak promotion over the lives of our lives, that Lord, we shall grow into one level of glory to another, that insight is coming to your children, understanding is coming to your children, wisdom is coming to your children, and that barrier, that blindness, that scales that are on the eyes of people are going to fall off, because you're going to make us see and to see you as you want us to see you. Thank you for the authority that you've given us. I thank you that, Lord, you're healing your people. And indeed, we cast out sickness. We thank you for answers that you're answering your people, them that are trusting you for children, them that are trusting you for jobs, that are trusting you for healing, that, Lord, you are doing it now. And they shall come back with a testimony and testify of your faithfulness. I give you glory. I honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. Amen. So, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day. God bless. Thank you, bro. Okay.